Filene's 2019 Big Bright Minds in Durham, North Carolina, right off the campus of Duke University. And I have another university fellow here, actually a professor at Princeton. Mm-hmm. Your name is Fred Wary.
Yes.
How are you, Fred?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing really well. You did a great presentation up on stage. I mean, you kind of opened the show for everybody, so well done.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. You talked about dignity and debt. So yes. Give us a quick overview for those who weren't here, and you should be here, because there's some really great content going on in there right now. So give us a quick overview of what you talked about up there.
Yeah. So one of the things that I wanted to demonstrate is the extent to which people care about how they're treated, mm-hmm. Both when they're acquiring debt and when they carry it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that happens is that the moment in which the debt is being repaid, and worse, collected, this is when the rules of respect seem to be suspended.
No doubt.
The problem with this, of course, is that if you really care about respect, and I think all of us do, mm-hmm. And maintaining your sense of dignity, sometimes you pay too much to do that.
Ah, okay.
And so what that essentially means is that instead of going to a credit union and talking to someone about how to deal with the short-term problem,
mm-hmm.
You're more likely to go somewhere else so that others don't know that you're having this short-term problem,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to have to pay a lot more for what you're getting.
There's a little bit of pride involved
bit of pride.
Yeah.
We pay for pride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
We pay for pride. Indeed. Pride comes at a cost. a lot of the things that we forget is that for some of us, we don't have to protect that sense of pride on mm-hmm. such a regular basis.
Yeah.
And so as you go up the income and education scale,
mm-hmm.
It's the service providers who are protecting your pride for
okay.
you, right? So one of the things, if you look at sort of differences in how consumers are treated by virtue of their economic backgrounds, mm-hmm. you know, if you're high income,
mm-hmm.
even if you're a difficult customer, or you know you're not the most organized customer,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
they're going to pretend as if you're doing everything right, because they're going to try to protect that sense
sure.
of dignity that you have
sure.
for yourself, so you don't have to think about it.
Right, and you're talking about the credit union in this case,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You're kind of protecting their members.
Yes, and so how do you protect your members' dignity? How do
yeah.
you enhance that sense of dignity?
Mm-hmm.
How do you sort of make sure that they feel respected?
Mm-hmm. So how do you do that? Do you have a couple of tips? I mean, I don't want to steal
yes.
all your thunder,
oh, yes.
but just
yeah.
a couple of tips would be great.
So a couple of tips are respecting people's time. And so sometimes when someone's coming in and they need help,
mm-hmm.
We too often can sort of see ourselves as, because we're providing much needed help, we should be able to ask them to go and do a whole bunch of other things
mm-hmm.
to make our time well used,
mm-hmm.
instead of asking how can we sort of better structure the encounter so that their time is best used.
Right.
The other thing too is when people are sort of, particularly you have members who are coming in for help, realizing that it's really hard to say that you've made some decisions that are not the best ones.
Right, it's embarrassing a little bit.
It's a little bit embarrassing, even when the decisions were made because you're helping a family member. And so often you'll have people who, you know, if it were up to them, their balance sheets would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a parent with an inadequate retirement,
mm-hmm.
And the roof starts to leak, or
mm-hmm.
the boiler goes out,
mm-hmm.
you're not just carrying your own household, but you're helping to carry
mm-hmm.
the household
yeah.
of a parent.
Right.
You're helping you know, a sibling with a recent divorce and children.
Mm-hmm.
So you're having all these other things that are happening, but you think that's your own business, right?
Right, right.
And so you don't want to have to go and say, oh, my father, who's really a proud guy, needs help financially
right.
preparing the room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we've had some interviews with some consumers where they were like, my dad did not want to ask for the loan.
I was thinking the same thing.
And
you know, dad's
like,
not going to ask for help.
He's
dad's
like, I don't need
it.
Help. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, well, dad, it's just a loan. So it's just because
right.
your check's not here yet.
Right.
Knowing that the dad couldn't repay it, but so long as they talked about it
mm-hmm.
in that way that
mm-hmm.
the dad could accept, yep. right?
Right.
But then you, as the kid, you had all these goals this year. And you have to sort of make sure that it's concealed from your dad and
mm-hmm.
that this sort of sets you back.
Ah, okay.
Right? And
yeah,
so
yeah.
there's all this concealment that goes on, in part because you're trying to protect both yourself and your sense of pride and dignity, and you're also trying to protect the sense of pride and dignity and respect of the people that you're helping, especially if it's in sort of a parent or a child that you think shouldn't be worried about some of these things, and you don't want your kids to know that you're going into other kinds of debt just to make sure they're okay while they're at school.
I got three in college right now. I know all about that.
And they have no idea of the sacrifice. Like, they, I mean, even when you tell them a little bit, they still don't know.
I just get to send more money, you know,
because everything's fine.
Exactly.
But as a parent, you're actually it's very happy tree. that you're the magic tree as a parent. So the part of the thing that makes you really pleased is, I know that if my kid runs into trouble, they're going to come to me. And they're not going to put themselves. And so part of it
is
that on the one hand, they're asking for a lot of stuff. On the other hand, you would feel really bad as a parent if they felt as if they couldn't ask.
Right.
And so you're getting asked that you weren't anticipating. And that can sometimes throw whatever financial plans you have sort of just out the window. And sometimes when those financial plans get thrown out the window, it can be really sort of demoralizing. And so part of it is, if you're working with members who can't seem to keep on whatever plan they've set out, maybe ask what's going on.
Right.
And making sure that they feel as if it's okay if you've got sort of kids that are doing things that have been costly for you, etc. But what you don't want to have is them to sort of get into their minds that there's no hope for the future. Well, that there's no control at all.
They're not the only ones out there. There are literally probably millions of people out there in the same boat as they are. They're not alone. Because there are so many people in this in this boat, so to speak, there are ways out of it. There are solutions, right? And credit unions can really step up in this area, right?
Yeah, and particularly because credit unions are committed to their membership and not to some sort of shareholders that sort of that are out on the global circuit.
Oh yeah.
It makes a very big difference for sort of whose side they're on. And so it's a very different experience when you're going into a financial institution, and in fact they're on your side.
Right.
They're not saying, I'll have to both please you, but I've got these other people I have to please. And these other people are saying, we're not making enough profit.
Right, exactly.
Off of you.
I was thinking the same thing, the word profit.
Yeah.
So this is a great place, having listened to you and saying that, this is a great place for a credit union to really step up and go, hey, you know what, we can really help you out here. And that just adds that loyalty, that trust that everyone's looking for in a business, to do business with somebody. So that's huge for them.
Yeah, but the other thing too is that as that loyalty and trust gets built, sometimes you're going to see things that you can't unsee, right? So they're, one of the difficulties when someone, if you really like your credit union, then you don't want them to see your worst day. And so you have to sort of get also sort of built in a level of trust and comfort where you can say, you know what, we all have had bad days. And sometimes you're having a bad day because there are millions of other people having a bad day because, in fact, education isn't what it used to cost. It used to be that you could, you know, work your way through school.
No doubt.
You know, just a few decades ago, you could work your way through.
Right.
And you didn't do anything to make that change. Like, that was happening outside of you. So let's just like get realistic about, there are things that, you know, that have happened and are that mean that the circumstances
that are out of your control,
that are a little out of your control.
Right.
But the things that are in your control are the way that you sort of how can you rearrange your debts and your life, your financial life, and how do you do that with trusted partners?
Indeed. All right, I'm going to wrap up because you want to get back in there and you want to watch. One more question for you. What's the main takeaway from your talk that credit unions can use, like Monday morning? What can they use right now?
What you can use right now is that there's a difference between trying to figure out how to teach members the value of your services versus how to teach your services how to align with the values of your members.
All right. Good one. Great message to end on. Fred, thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
Well done. There he is. Fred Weary from Princeton University.